I'm going to start you out with sort of a little pop quiz, requires you to do a little thinking and association. I'll let you know the 8:15 group failed. So maybe that'll relax you, maybe it'll make you nervous, I don't know. What do the following people have in common? Singer Jewel, actresses Hilary Swank and Halle Berry, actor Jim Carrey, and pop culture icon Oprah Winfrey. Any guesses? You got to be loud enough so I can hear you. You don't have to raise your hand. Yes.
They're on TV.
Well, they're on TV. They're famous. Yes, Corey.
Filthy rich.
Well, maybe not filthy rich. Some of them are. Some of them are just a little smudged. Anything else? Karen. You know, I don't know if they've all won Emmys. They've all won awards. That's certainly true. One East. All philanthropists? Not that I'm aware of. They're not all from Canada. No. Okay, I will tell you. Okay, we'll get a couple more guesses.
Are they all Christians?
I don't know the answer to that. James, that was yours. Okay. One more guess if anybody's got it. Each and every one of these persons has experienced extreme poverty. They have been homeless, on welfare, have lived in their car or in a shelter. Each one of these people has known what darkness and despair, fear and desperation, I said that one already, what those feel like. And then they too have come to know hope and the dawn of light. And yes, many of them are financially quite secure. Now I have another question. In light of the first one, what would you say these two people have in common? Owen Wilson and Britney Spears. Drugs. I don't know that Britney has attempted suicide. Owen did, and that was very public.
Yes, has Owen ever shaved his head?
Now, I don't know if they both shaved their head. But by all appearances in their very public lives, these two seem to still be in the very dark part of their life's journey, feeling lost and uncertain as to their purpose, their place, and their meaning in this world. Now, feelings like these folks have experienced and are experiencing can resonate very closely with our passage from Jeremiah, where Jeremiah is mourning over his people Israel. During the time from which this reading came, they were a people rebellious who were in the process of being punished by God for their rebellion. They were being conquered by a foreign people. They were being dispersed, sent out of their land, banished, cut off from one another. It would begin a process that for many would lead to a crisis of identity, of abandonment, of feeling forgotten and wandering like they had wandered in the desert centuries ago. They knew about grief. They knew about loss of meaning. When in those depths, as we can see from our scripture, sometimes it is hard to imagine that there will ever be anything else than this. But that feeling, that wondering, is not unique to pop stars or ancestors of the Old Testament. The Apostle Paul had a thorn in his side which plagued him. We don't know the exact nature of his illness, be it physical or mental, but it was something that he dealt with all the time, and it got him down. And we know that from his scriptural writings. Martin Luther, credited to be the father of the Protestant Reformation, wrote of his own experience and feelings of worthlessness, and he referred to that deep, dark struggle as his dark night of the soul. Harry Emerson Fosdick, who is considered one of the greatest pulpiteers of the early and middle 20th century, attempted suicide when he was in seminary. Jesus, in the garden, says, "If it is possible, God, please let this cup pass." And then on the cross at Golgotha, "Why have you forsaken me?" Maybe you have had or are having your own experience of darkness and wandering, of feeling lost or forgotten. You know what this is like if you have had to bury a child or a spouse or a sibling. If you've lost a job through unjust means, if you've had a crisis of health, be it physical or mental, if your life plan is shaken when someone you love and trusted chooses to walk away, when someone pulls the financial rug right out from underneath you, there are many ways a person or group of people can have their sense of being, of worth, or identity shaken at its very core.
God, the nations have come into your inheritance. They have defiled your holy temple. They have laid Jerusalem in ruins. They have given the bodies of your servants to the birds of the air for food, the flesh of your faithful to the wild animals of the earth. They have poured out their blood like water all around Jerusalem, and there was no one to bury them. We have become a taunt to our neighbors, mocked and derided by those around us. How long, O Lord, will you be angry forever? Will your jealous wrath burn like fire? Pour out your anger on the nations that do not know you, and on the kingdoms that do not call on your name. For they have devoured Jacob and laid waste to his habitation. Do not remember against us the iniquities of our ancestors. Let your compassion come speedily to meet us, for we are brought very low. Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of your name. Deliver us and forgive our sins for your name's sake."
The psalmist, tradition says, is King David. And in that passage, it is evident that he is experiencing this same type of grief, sense of loss, of being cut off, of uncertainty. And no matter what the preachers of the power of positive thinking may tell you, our scriptures show us that the people of God, God's chosen ones, even God's own Son, experience the depths of despair. They know and have lived these feelings. Okay. We know that no one gets a free ride. No one has 100% happiness and joy 24/7, 365 days a year. Swell. So what else are you telling us? Is that it? Life ain't always great. Go home and deal with it. Well, for those of you that have been around me for a while, I hope you know better than that. And for those who are our guests today and don't know me, I rarely preach a message without hope, because I believe no circumstance is ever completely without hope. Okay then, so what? What does this have to say to you? What does this mean for you and me? What can you take home from this? It is my hope that you will take home these four connections. Number one, if and when you are in such a state, when you are in despair and can see nothing but clouds and feel as though you are wandering in desert lands, do not give up. Do not despair. No matter how it feels in the moment, it will not last forever. God has promised us that the darkness will not win. Number two, if you are in a place like that in your life's journey, don't be afraid to talk about it. You'd be surprised how many others have been through similar experiences and survived. And even some of your Christian brothers and sisters who haven't been there and don't fully understand what you're going through, they will still show you the love of God and bring you hope and stand beside you. Number three, if you are not in a spiritual place of loss or fear or sadness, don't turn your hearing aid off, shut down, and start thinking about the cowboy game or the new episode of Desperate Housewives that's coming on tonight. Instead, take the time to recognize that someone very near you may be going through this experience. Take the time to pray for others. Open yourself in a way that a brother or sister in Christ may find in you a person to trust and with whom they can share their own story. And take time to give thanks to God for the blessings in your own life. And even though it isn't perfect, give thanks for what it is. Finally, know this. No matter where you are, God is there. Your relationship with God doesn't exempt you from the challenges, pain, and losses in life, but God is there with you. God will not show up in a pretty pink dress with a wand and a crown and swish your problems away in an instant, but the Lord will be by your side through it all. I've said before in conversations with friends that I could never live in Alaska. Aside from the cold, which I got more than my share of when I lived in Iowa for 5 years, the idea of living in parts of Alaska where they have round-the-clock sunshine would bother me enough. But the time of round-the-clock darkness, I could not survive. Sometimes we may feel spiritually and emotionally like we are in round-the-clock darkness. Sometimes you might feel like you can't see anything else, but you pray and you wait, and then the dawn. This is true. No matter where you are, whether in Burleson, Alaska, or Kalamazoo, whether you are on a mountaintop, in a valley, sitting in boredom at your breakfast table, or deep in a pit of despair, God will never leave you, never forsake you, and never, ever stop loving you, no matter what. This is the good news. Thanks be to God.
This is from Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 18, through chapter 9, verse 1. My joy is gone. Grief is upon me. My heart is sick. Hark, the cry of my poor people from afar and wide in the land. Is the Lord not in Zion? Is her king not in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their images, with their foreign idols? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of my poor people, I am hurt. I mourn, and dismay has taken hold of me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then has the health of my poor your people not been restored. Oh, that my head were a spring of water, and my eyes a fountain of tears, so that I might weep day and night for the slain of my poor people. This ends the reading of God's word.